that. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if we can. The veil, Lord, so that we can see you plainly, to see, Lord, how much truly you are more than enough for anything that confronts us, Father. And even tonight, Lord, as we're just coming before the sacred desk, and we're getting ourselves, Lord, just our hearts and our minds framed, Lord, for the elements. Father, we're just praying. Pray, Lord, that you would just quicken each heart, quicken each mind, Lord. You help us, oh God, to set everything aside, every disappointment, every obstacle, Lord. Everything that would try to derail and try to direct our thoughts away from you, Father. Lord, there's so much that we can gain in you. We can just get ourselves out of the way. Help us in that regard, Lord. Each one, have your way tonight. Glorify yourself, Father, we pray. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Still not on. Pull it closer to my mouth. How's that? Is that better? Yeah? Right here. Okay. Is that better? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. While you are standing, thank you so much. Appreciate your all being here. Brother of the Week, I heard that familiar voice. Surprise, surprise. I was just coming up here just to announce the week to minister for us tonight, so hope you're ready, brother. Amen. No, God is good. Amen. Luke 8, if you would, verse 1, and then we're going to drop down to 22. Amen. Luke 8. Verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Amen? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there to hear that? The glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Amen. We have a positive message tonight. Amen? Let's drop down to the 22nd verse. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. It truly is the bread of life. And so we just pray you break it to us tonight. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm going to entitle this just kind of so you know a little bit of my thought is picking up from the first verse, Glad Tidings of the Kingdom of God. Glad Tidings. Amen. And the sub under this is unshakable faith in Christ. I think it's one thing that the Lord wants us to have tonight is that unshakable faith in Christ. And I'm going to bring something that I've brought to you before, maybe at a little bit different angle, but I know how it is. A lot of times when we minister and you're sitting there listening, we don't altogether know what is actually being gotten, what is being absorbed. And I, as I was studying and waiting on the Lord as to what it is that he would have me speak on, I just felt myself pulled again in this direction. And I believe that the Lord is getting us ready. He's getting us prepared for this day that we're in, for the hour that is before us, and the challenges that we're going to be confronted with. Amen? And so we know that there is going to be a squeeze. You know, Brother Branham said there was going to be a squeeze. And so as you feel the squeeze, it's got only one place for the bride of Jesus Christ to go, and that's up. Right? Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Don touched on it this past Sunday. Amen. But that's the truth. Amen. We can look around, and we see that this country has been taken over by communists. Right? Canada. Taken over by communists. Virtually the whole world, right? And their desire is complete submission of this country. And sometimes, and again, this is a point I've made, but I want to bear again, sometimes we forget when Jesus was here on earth, he too was in a country that was occupied. He was in an occupied country, right? Amen? It was occupied by the world power of that day, Rome. And Rome is still in power, more in the shadows, more in the background. But as things begin to set up, as things come to a forefront, as they begin to set up their 10 kingdoms, as the Bible is telling us, and as they're planning, right, and as we've read, you know, their plans, we know that the Catholic Church is going to have a very prominent place of position there. So that world power is still there, still present. But like Jesus didn't bother himself with Rome. Think about that. Rome is a distraction. God's power is so strong, amen, it shouldn't even draw our attention whatsoever. Amen. Amen. And I, you know, as I begin to pore over these things and I begin to realize that our faith mustn't and cannot and will not fail because God is supreme over all. Amen. And Brother Derek, as many times has been up here preaching about the impossibility of God's people and how that they're put in these places, And God loves to put His people in those places of impossibility. That's just excellent staging for the Lord to come on the scene yeah. and bring deliverance. Amen? So as we look at these different things, we begin to share and bring out the read in the New Testament here. Jesus asked that question to His disciples. He says, "Where is your faith?" And I feel somehow maybe that's what the Spirit is asking us tonight. Where is your faith? I believe there's so much more to gain and to climb and to aspire. But I also know this too. It is the Lord's doing. I believe that the Lord is equipping His bride.
Hallelujah.
I believe that He indeed will push away everything that hinders us. But we have to have an open hand, willingness to let go. Amen. I believe that whatever it is that is bringing you contentment, if it isn't the Word of God, if it isn't the Spirit of God, God is going to make you miserable with it so that you let go of those things. You realize there isn't anything to it. It does not satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I believe too, and in the proper place, positionally in Christ, I believe that God doesn't want us to live with care. He wants us to be carefree in the provision of us, both naturally and spiritually. Brother Branham preached a sermon, "Why Are the People So Tossed About?" That is a wonderful sermon. If it's been a while since you've looked at it or heard it, or maybe you haven't, go back and read it. If that is one thing that'll just absolutely settle you, and you realize that that's God's desire for us, that He doesn't want us to be settled in this life. He wants us to be settled in Him. There's a big difference.
Amen?
Amen? Amen? So in Matthew 10:7, he tells them to go and preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. And He's telling His disciples to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. So in that, He wants us just to draw totally from the Lord, carefree, without any concern of provision whatsoever.
Amen.
That in doing and in tapping into that life source, into the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And as we receive from Him, He wants us to freely give it out,
amen,
without hoarding, without restraint, without holding back. He wants us to be a pipe. He wants us to be a conduit. Amen. He has a promise in the Word. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The Lord doesn't want us to consider saving our own selves so much. Really, not at all. No, He doesn't. He's concerned for us. Okay? He's concerned for us. We are His care. All right? Our concern is our brothers, our sisters, all around. Anything that we can do, what can I do for you? Amen? In fact, He said, "Anyone who tries to save your life shall lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you shall find it."
Amen.
You shall find what it was that you're put here on life for. You'll find your place. You'll find your calling. You'll find your flow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God doesn't want us to be hoarders of His blessings in our lives. He wants us to be a conduit. Amen. And we know that all these things accompany salvation. And He does this because of who He is and who we are. Amen. We are His children. Moreover, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says He does everything to turn her hand. Will you let Him turn your hand tonight? Amen? Amen? Oh, God be praised. Now we know from the message in the Bible that Jesus was the mysterious God inhabited in flesh, proclaiming Himself to the world. Isn't that what the Bible says? God was in Christ revealing Himself to the world. Right? Brother Branham preached the sermon, "Christ is the mystery of God revealed," Or stated differently, Christ is the revelation of the mystery of God.
Amen.
Amen. God expressed. But Christ himself was hidden from the world. Right? He himself was hidden. So he himself was a mystery. But this message has come to pull back the veil to this mystery, and for all those that believe, brought in plain sight. To the world a mystery, but not to you. Amen? He's here to reveal himself to you, to me. Amen. So the Bible is not just a book to be set on a shelf, which the contents are to be questioned, as the devil would have the world believe, but rather it's an open book to the bride, whose contents are not only believed, but lived. Amen. And expressed through. And the message is to declare him. Amen. Christ, who declared the Father. So what am I... Are this... As the Lord begins to bring things out to us, again, the thing that is just ever-present before us, I believe that the Lord is hovering over us, desiring to see who he is. I believe that he wants us in our discovery and our realization of who Christ is, that every fear would be scattered, just like light scatters darkness. No fear whatsoever. Amen? And you notice that when Jesus, in dealing with his disciples, it was always him upbraiding them because of their unbelief. Because of who he was. He was astonished at their unbelief. Think about that. Because he knew who he was and who it was that was in him. He was amazed that they could be so unbelieving. He upbraided the cities where most of the mighty works were done because they repented not. Amen. Matthew 17:17 says, Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? We talked about that. Jesus with the three, Peter, James, and John had just come down from Transfiguration Mountain. And all the big throng was down there at the bottom of the hill, and the scribes were with his disciples, peppering his disciples with questions. Jesus went up to them and says, why do you question them? And they said, and then one fellow said who had a son who had a lunatic, a devil inside of him, throw himself down. You know the story. And they said, he said, we brought them to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out. Look at his reaction. O faithless and perverse generation. Isn't that an interesting reaction? How long will I suffer you? Okay? Amen. Verse 20 goes on, because they asked him, he says, how was it that we were unable to cast out? Because you know the story. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So the disciples wanted to know, how is it that we were not able to cast him out? And he said, it was because of your unbelief. Amen? Because of your unbelief. I know he also said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Total submission to the Spirit of God, to be that conduit. Nothing can stand in your way. No devil. Amen. Amen. Unbelief. He marvels at it. And later on, when he was resurrected and he revealed himself to his disciples, and a few, and they came back and they gave report to his disciples and they didn't believe them. Can you imagine? For, you know, never mind the fact that Jesus told them all about it when they were all together before he died, that these things must come to pass. and that he would raise the third day. When his disciples came and they told and testified to the rest of the disciples, they didn't believe it. Right? Mark 16:14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not which had seen him after he was risen. The Lord wants us to walk in faith. No unbelief. Mark 6:50. Okay. I'm going to speed this up here a little bit. Everything that Jesus did declared his nature. Amen? Every miracle that he ever performed showed that he was Lord over. Amen. That's why, you know, when he came to the boat after having walked on the water, you know, they were amazed, you know. When they were leaving and they didn't have any bread, and he had just, you know, multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and he says, oh, we don't have any bread. They were still hung up there when he says, beware of the leaven of the scribes. Of the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you're thinking about bread. I mean, look what happened. How many, by just out of few loaves and fishes, he multiplied to the multitude, right? How many were fed? How many baskets were taken up? 5,000, 4,000. How many baskets were taken up? Are your hearts hardened? Do you still not understand? That was the Creator that was standing right there before them. Do you think he cared one iota that they didn't have any bread with them? Do you think that concerned him in the least? Not at all. He was concerned of one thing, and that was his word. That his word would have preeminence in their heart. And he said, take heed to the leaven of the Pharisees. Take heed to the leaven of the Herodians, depending on another part of the verse. Basically, the word of men. God's word and man's word will not mix. It becomes hybrid then. And it's death. Right? It's one thing that we find out. So how about our hearts? Are we slow in believing all that Jesus said concerning us and our lives and our brothers and our sisters around us? That our brothers and our sisters around us are literally the expression of Jesus Christ to the world and to us. Right? All that was in the Father, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. That's you. Amen. That's me. Amen. This is just incredible. 14:20. At that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Right? Brother Branham said, that day is this day. Amen. Amen. Luke 12:22 said this. He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither of your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than meat, and your body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then, being able to do this thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? He's challenging them to their very core. You need to let go, and you need to have faith in God. You have faith in God, the Lord will provide every need that you have. Amen. Every need. Hallelujah. Let loose of it. Let loose your cares. Let loose your worries. Let loose of your fears. God is mindful of it. He will take care of it. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not that which shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be doubtful mind. That word there, that Greek word, means to passively fluctuate or be anxious. Be anxious. The Lord doesn't want us to be meditating in anxious thought. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Think about that. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen? Jesus put it in another way. He concluded it this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore nor thought for the morrow. This is in Mark 34. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why? Because you put your faith in your supplies, which are limited, instead of God's supplies, which are unlimited. I'm not saying that you can't have something. Don't put your trust in it.
Amen.
Don't hoard anything. You know, don't, as you freely have, freely give. That is why it is hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. Proverbs 18:11 says that the rich man's wealth is a strong city and a high tower in his own conceit. Think about that. They depend on their wealth. That is their strength. That is their confidence. That's what they look to provide for them in and out during hard times and easy times. They look to their money. That's their strong city. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Think about that. The disciples, when they heard that, they were astonished. Who then can be saved? It's astonishing. He said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? Yeah, amen. Astonished out of measure, the Bible says. Yeah, out of measure. Contrast that verse, Proverbs 18:11, about the rich man's wealth is a strong city with the one previous to that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Amen? So where do you want to put your trust in?
Amen?
Amen? Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Roaming and conquering armies was a very real present threat in the time of David. Every spring, it says, then when the kings went out to battle, there was no guarantee that there wouldn't be an army camping on your front lawn any given time. They always lived under the threat of the sword. Right? Isaiah 31:1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Woe unto them who trust in 401k and gold bars here and stashes of this there and the other thing. I'm not saying you can't have those things, certainly not. Don't trust in them. Don't trust a lick in them. The Bible says that the Lord make us rich and He adds no sorrow with it. You can tell right then if you're preoccupied with it, if you're worried about it. If you're concerned about your nest egg and so forth, it tells you where you're putting your heart in. It shows you where you put your worry in. You can have a stash of whatever, but somebody will come in and break it, take it, and, you know, away. Could well be that the Lord would do that. So then you know for sure you've got one place to look. The Lord wants us to focus our gaze right there. Amen? Not move it? Amen. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let them that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Amen. And one thing I want to drop in here, I'd be remiss not to say it. The greatest power that there is love. And God is love. The whole nature of God is love. And all the authority and everything that the Lord is over, it's love that propels and motivates everything. And even Brother Branham at one point, he says, "You want to know how it is that the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear? And all these things that happen in my ministry, you want to know how this happens? I'll tell you." He says, "It's love." He says, "It's love." Amen. Amen. The greatest, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love." See, love and faith are sisters. Isn't that right, Brother Derek? Love and faith. Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And the faith that you have is the faith that overcomes the world. You can see how they go together. Amen? Amen. God be praised. You know, when Paul went forth proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen to what he said. 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." See, that's what it really is all about. That, and the power isn't something for us to use. The power is something for God to do through us. That He uses us and not the other way around. To do His will, not our own. He continues, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And the power of God is the authority of God, because He's above all. Everything must obey Him. This is all found in Christ. Now, walk with me. We're thinking about Christ. Our eyes are on Christ. We're going to have communion tonight. We're going to break bread. This is my body. Do in remembrance of me. Christ, amen. Everything. He's over every demon. He cast out legions. He healed diseases innumerable, right? He has authority over the fire. Think of those Hebrew children. He called fire to come down from heaven to consume a sacrifice. He is Lord over the fire. Amen? Storms. Storms obey Him. Armies are no match at all. Armies are mere flesh. They have no match at all against the Spirit. And no spirit can come against the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Remember when they come and they were going to gather Jesus, collect Him. "Are you Jesus. And he answered and says, I am. Remember how they fell back when he said that. He has power over all flesh. Remember how they were going to gather them and throw them off the brow of the hill. And he turned around and he walked right through their midst. No flesh has any authority over him. And when they did pick him up there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's because he laid his life down. They didn't take it. He allowed it. He laid his life down for us. Amen. He's over darkness, right? Caused darkness in Egypt, light, yet there was light in Goshen. He is above all life. Of course, he is life. And yet he took life out of a fig tree. It obeyed him, right? He's got power over death, hell, and the grave. Innumerable dead raised to their life, raised to life again. He's got power over even the world and how these stars and everything move. He even stopped this earth from spinning, right? Sun, stand still, right? He caused the sundial to go back 15 degrees. He has power over the solar system. Amen. Everything is in control of our Lord Jesus. Keep in mind, He it is that created all things. Yes, our Jesus did. Amen? Amen. And He's authority over sin. Think about that. Behold the man of sorrows. Behold him in plain view. Behold the man of sorrows since he rent that veil in two. There isn't one thing that the Lord is not Lord over. Amen? So how do you believe? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing and applying and resting. You see it? I'm quoting. The word says so. Hear it. Your heart says so. Believe it. And your whole heart, your whole being rests in it. It's finished. Faith cometh by hearing. Jesus said the word, He that heareth my words believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life, never ending, always existing life. Isn't that marvelous? Ever existing life, and shall never perish, but hath already passed from death unto life, hath passed from separation unto everlasting presence. Amen. Amen. God be praised. Faith cometh by hearing. You listen to the word of God. Keep feeding. The Lord, amen. Allow Him to get big in your eyes. Amen. He says, not upon feelings, mental emotions, theory upon some unknown, something that somebody has said that has no basis upon someone say, well, you come join our church, but upon the word of God, the human soul rests solid. God said so, and that settles it. Makes it real. See, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He was the Word expressed. He was the masterpiece. Amen? And the bride of Jesus Christ is the matching piece to the masterpiece. Isn't that right? And Brother Branham also said what he said of the bridegroom. Speaks also of the bride. So we need to see our place, our position, and where it is that the Lord Jesus has placed us. We are united together with Him. Amen. We are one flesh with Him, and that's what we're going to partake of is the elements to remind us that we are one flesh with Him. Amen. This is my body. This is my blood. This is a new covenant, new testament given for you. Amen. The life of my blood. God be praised. Amen. I'll leave one quote here and then we'll change the order of the service again. This is a good quote. This comes out of the Easter seal. He says, now the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as He finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ. Listen. the great super Son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and takes its place of abode into the human life. Now notice, through the quickening power. Now that quickening power that comes upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. So does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. Listen. So does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. So does the Holy Spirit that come upon us in this day. If it's not a mockery Holy Spirit, if it's not the devil mocking the Holy Spirit, but it is the real, true Holy Spirit, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. And that's what he's here to do.
Amen.
Manifest himself. Amen. Amen. I wonder if the musicians could come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads if we would. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart, Lord, this is your word. And Father, I believe that you're helping us and desiring that we raise our gaze ever higher and look at you and be fixed. Lord, that we would conform to the image that we are beholding, which is you. So, Father, I pray that you would help, that you'd fan the flames in our hearts to where it raises up evermore, casting out every doubt, every confusion, every conflict, Lord, that comes in conflict with your word, Father. We lay it down. We lay it down at the cross. If there be anything at all that we need to make right, Lord, I pray that that gets laid down in an earnest desire, Lord, that nothing is hindering us, Father, which is your desire, your delight, Lord. And we want to just bask in the glorious liberty of the sons of God and seeing all that you are. Help us tonight, Lord. Quicken your word to our hearts. Grant it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. There's a handout, and I don't know if it's in here, but once it was a blessing. Which one is that one? I think we got a separate one. 78 in here. Whoever wrote this, they had an experience with the Lord, without a doubt. Amen.
Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the King, now it is His Word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver owed. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. Once there's painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once I have salvation, now the altar holds. Once was ceaseless holding, now He holds me fast. Once was constant drifting, now Stand with me, let's finish it. Sing. Once was all forever, only Christ I seek. Everything is in Christ and Christ. Amen. Once it was my working, is it hand? Shall be. Once I tried to use him, while he uses me. Now the more I wanted, now the mighty one. Once with self I labored, now amen. All in all forever, only Christ I seek. Everything is in Christ. Yeah. Amen. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know he's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now he's coming hail. And my hopes are anchored, safe within the veil. All in all forever, only Christ I seek. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything.
Man, I love that song. It just captures the heart, doesn't it? And everything you can learn about him, you can learn, but it comes right down to it. It's just him. And that's, he is what we're longing for. Thank you. You may be seated. Do you ever come to these places in your life where, you know, you're learning and you're studying, and then sometimes he just stops you in your tracks. And he's done this with me several times. And all of a sudden, I just sit in my study in prayer and bawl like a baby and said, Lord, all I want is you. It's just you. I just want you. I just want to be with you. I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want to be just with you. And you're just, there's a love affair there. So I know everything is for a purpose, and I'm not discrediting anything at all, because he had to come in this day with doctrine to correct us so that we might know him in the reality it is. But you get that down in your heart and say, okay, here I am. It's a love affair. Amen. And so many times, you know, we pointed to the picture, and people look at the man and say, that's God. No, it isn't. You look at the pillar of fire, you know, that shows God was there. But you look at that spiritual happening, that's God. And then look out here, and again, there's spiritual happenings going on, and then you see him, and you love it. And then you fall in love. If we ever lose that love affair, let's go back and get on our knees and regroup and say, hey, what happened? Because nothing can ever replace that with him. Because he truly, all in all, forever, Christ, only Christ, I'll sing, everything is in him. And he is everything. He is the mystery of God revealed. So I think, again, servers, would you come get prepared tonight? Partake of the elements. I always think of this, this do in remembrance of me. We never ever forget him. He never wants us to forget him. You can get caught up into churchianity. You can get up in church offices. You can get caught up in church buildings. You can get caught up in everything. Oh, we're going to grow. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to multiply. But don't forget Jesus. Just don't forget him. I am amazed always because at the end of the stature of a perfect man, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us, are you lacking any of these things? Well, here, look at those seven things. The last one is agape, isn't it? The capstone. Are we lacking any of these? He says, he that lacks these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And there's something about connecting again to our Lamb in love, in that greatest love, the greatest expression of love, that he laid down his life for us, that we can never separate from and is always with us. And when he says, I'm here, I did this, I can take another step. And when you're down and you're out, all you need to hear is that voice, I'm here. I did this for you. I laid down my life for you. Look again. Look again and partake. My body, it was broken for you. My blood was shed for you. How far does that go? It goes all the way to perfection. How far does that go? That goes all the way to the New Jerusalem. So we come with thanksgiving in our hearts every single time because we're in a different spot. Hopefully every single month when we're here, he's here. And every time we hear his voice, he says to us, I died, I shed my blood, my body was broken, that you can partake. What did you partake of this week? Today, of me. I died so you could do that. Mm-hmm. Let's take another step. And the love affair goes on continually, and it never turns into religion. It stays where it's supposed to be, in that love affair with us and the Lord Jesus. So let's prepare to partake of these elements with thanksgiving, with reverence in our hearts. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do you think they understood that? How about you and I tonight? You do this as often as you drink it in remembrance in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Blessed be his name. Brother Derek, would you ask a blessing on the bread?
Heavenly Father, taking memory of you. Bless it for our bodies.